Is there more to life? Is there more to life? Lately for you, has it been a grind? Day to day, you're just spinning your wheels. You wake up, you work, you eat, sleep, repeat, over and over and over again. And maybe you've wondered, is there more to life than this? And maybe you've taken that to the depths of your soul, and you've wondered, do I have a purpose? Do we have a purpose? Why am I here? What is my reason for being? I believe that we can find our purpose in God's four-part kingdom story. God's four-part kingdom story. And I'll go through those briefly for you. I believe that our God reigns over all of the universe, and I believe that we are all a part of His story. And this is how it goes. Number one, God created the heavens and the earth. We're talking about God's 6 days of creation when all things, including humans, were made. When God created the heavens and the earth in those 6 days, He said that it was good. And it was. It was without corruption, without disease, without death, and without sin. And humanity, at the beginning, in the garden, they had a purpose. What is their purpose? Their purpose is to know, to love, to serve, and to praise God. That was their purpose. Know, love, serve, and praise God. To have their focus on God and His tremendous and awesome glory. Well, that was the first part. The second part is this. The first two humans, Adam and Eve, who lived in the goodness of the garden, they disobeyed God. We call this the fall. And because they disobeyed God, they brought corruption, disease, death, and sin into God's good creation. In doing so, they chose their own way. And they had rejected God's sole purpose for their lives, to know, love, serve, and praise Him. They decided to do things their own way. So that was number one and number two. Number three, God sent His only Son, Jesus. When He did, Jesus came to redeem humanity, to take away that curse of sin that Adam and Eve brought down upon us all. Jesus came to cancel out that sin, and He did that by sacrificing Himself on the cross. We know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And what does He do? He leads us back to our original purpose, humanity's original purpose. To do what? To know, to love, to serve, and to praise God. You wonder why you are here this morning. You wonder why you are drawn by the Holy Spirit to God. It's so that you can fulfill your purpose. Your purpose to know, love, serve, and praise God. Later on today, we're going to have a funeral service for one of our dearly beloved members, Minnie Van Buren. One of the last times I saw her, she was cuddled up close in her room with a great friend. And you know what they were doing? I didn't even want to stop them and bother them. You know what they were doing? They were singing hymns together to the Lord. Like I said, I didn't want to stop them, right? In that, you know, Minnie couldn't get out anymore. She was in a home. She couldn't serve on the soundboard. She couldn't help out with a lunch. But she was fulfilling her purpose in knowing, loving, serving, and praising God. So that was number one, number two, and number three. Well, what's number four? What's yet to come? Number four, Jesus will return, and he is going to restore the heavens and the earth so that with him we can live out our purpose eternally. Jesus is coming back. All of those who are born again, all of those who have called Jesus their Savior, who have repented and put their trust in him, all of us who have done that will live out our purpose eternally with God. That was number four. Today, we are going to start talking about number two, the fall. Over the last several weeks, we were talking about creation. Now we're going to talk about number two, the fall. And don't pay any attention to your bulletin. It says that we're going to be going through Genesis 1 through 13. As I was preparing this today, I think if I went all the way through 13, we could skip out on all of the activities between 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock because I think I would have been pushing all the way through all of that. So today we are just going to look at verses 1 through 5. So let us pray. And we're going to hear from God's word, and we're going to have its interpretation. So let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you that everything we need to know about salvation in your son Jesus is found within the pages of this awesome and holy book that you have given us, your word. Lord, guide us today as we hear its reading and its interpretation. Lord, move in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Build us up in faith. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis 3, 1 through 5. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say, 'You must not eat from any tree in the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, 'You must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.'" "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." This is the word of the Lord. So, last chapter, Moses zeroes in on the creation of the humans. And we have Adam and Eve, and they are in the garden, and it is good. And now, all of a sudden, we have this serpent show up on the scene. And the text tells us that the serpent is crafty. And when we read that word crafty, I think we could take it two ways, right? One way, we could say that a sharp detective is crafty in figuring out a murder mystery. Or we could say that a decorator is crafty when they can go into a junk room, find a bunch of stuff that you think is garbage, put it all together, and put together a beautiful living room decorating scene, something out of a magazine. That's crafty. But on the other side of it, we know that there are some crafty salesmen and some crafty car dealerships out there that are doing everything they can to swindle you out of a little bit more money. This week, I heard about some different pricing schemes. So you walk up to the sticker in the window, that new car or truck that you want to buy, and they might have the MSRP listed, manufacturer suggested retail price. But then there's another price, the distributor suggested retail price. And then there could be another price too, the dealer suggested retail price. And then finally, when you get all the way down to the bottom, you'll find the TRP, the total. And I'm getting lost here. The total TRP, what was that? MSRP, manufacturers, okay. The total retail price. You know why they do this. So they can swindle you out a little more, swindle you out of some more money. They can create markups that confuse you so you end up paying much more. Right? So when we think of crafty, there are different ways we could take that. Crafty. But as we read this story, we are on the other side of the fall, and for us, we kind of see it, right? This something here is off. I don't like snakes. Maybe you don't like snakes either. There's something ominous. There's something sinister. This story, well, whatever this serpent is doing, the serpent is up to no good. And to keep with our theme today, I'm going to go the negative. Something fishy is up. Right? Something fishy is up. Something really fishy. And Eve, at this point, Eve, she does not know evil. She does not know deception. She has no reason to fear. One of my friends pointed out earlier this week that it wasn't until the flood that the wild animals would run away from humans. So perhaps Eve was used to seeing wild animals around her in the garden, and seeing the serpent would have been no cause for alarm. But strangely, the serpent speaks and has some questions for Eve. And I wonder, what is going on? Did animals speak in the garden on a regular basis? And I wonder, how could they? They don't have a human soul. They are not like us. Animals are different than what we are. As we start to have some of these questions about the serpent, about what's going on here, where is the best place to look for answers? Do we go to the encyclopedia? Do we go to Google? Do we go and ask a friend? The best place to go when we have questions, always, is the Bible itself. For me, the Bible is my only rule for faith and life. And for me, the Bible is truly God's word to us. So if I have a question, I'm going to go to God's word to look for answers. And this is just one reference, that I found. There are many more about the identity of this serpent. This is from Revelation, chapter 12, verse 7 up to 9. This is talking about a great battle in heaven. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, That ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray, he was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Who is the serpent that Eve is encountering here? Satan. Somehow, Satan was speaking through the serpent. We know Satan was a fallen angel, and we know that it happened sometime before this. But we do wonder, how did he fall? When did he fall? Why was he allowed in the garden? Why was that tree that's being spoken about in the garden in the first place? And after a lot of investigating and encountering a lot of ideas, I'm just going to have to say that with the Word of God, it tells us everything that we need to know about salvation in Jesus, but we do not have every answer to every question. We are called to faith, to trust that God has brought us everything we need to know. Faith that God is in charge, that God's will and His ways and the way that He has formed things are the right way. Satan, here with Eve, he brings a question. And this question is all about creating doubt in Eve's mind. Satan is hoping that Eve will question God's trustworthiness. Satan is hoping that Eve will question God's words. And Satan is hoping that Eve will question God's character. And he brings a really bad idea to Eve. And it's a really bad idea for all of us. And it's this question: do any of us have the right to evaluate what God says, to question God's plain word? The devil thinks so. Satan thinks so. He asks Eve, did God really? Did he? Huh? Did he really tell you not to eat from this tree? Satan is working to create something in Eve, to create this idea that she is missing out on something that's better. That somehow God is depriving her of her best life. And what Satan is trying to do here is create this idea that with God you are under bondage, but outside of Him you will have freedom. This idea that with God you'll have bondage and outside of God you'll have freedom. This is the lie of Satan before Eve. Several weeks ago, somebody brought me the results of a survey that was done by George Barna. It's a survey on biblical worldview amongst U.S. adults. And this survey asks questions that get to seven cornerstones of the Christian faith. Seven cornerstones of the Christian faith. These seven cornerstones are basics of the Christian faith. And with this survey, they wanted to see what percentage of U.S. adults would agree with all seven of these. How many adults in the U.S. would agree with all seven of these cornerstones? Now, before I read the cornerstones, I want to give you a little bit of warning. And the warning is this: if you cannot say yes to all of these, I invite you to consider taking a careful look at how well your beliefs and your behavior conform with the Word of God. That's my simple ask. If you say no to one or more of these, I would just invite you to take a careful look at how well your beliefs and your behaviors conform with the Word of God. All right, are you ready for the seven? Number one. One must possess an orthodox biblical understanding of God. With that, you can think Apostles' Creed, ancient summaries of the Christian faith. So number one, one must possess an orthodox biblical understanding of God. Number two, all human beings are sinful by nature, and our choices have consequences. Number three, the consequences of sin can only be forgiven and eliminated through Jesus Christ. And this is available only by personal acknowledgement and confession and complete reliance on God's grace. Number four, the entire Bible is true, reliable, and relevant, making it the best moral guide for every person in all situations. Number five, absolute moral truth exists, and those truths are defined by God, described in the Bible, and are unchanging. Number six, the ultimate purpose of human life is to know, love, and serve God with all of one's heart, mind, and strength. And finally, number seven, success on earth is best understood as consistent obedience to God in thoughts, words, and actions. The results here in the U.S. amongst adults, where all seven of these were confirmed, where the people surveyed said yes to all seven of these, 3%. 3%. Amongst pastors that were surveyed, I did some more research on this after this was dropped off to me, but I did some more research, and they did pastors too. And the percentage of pastors that were surveyed that said yes to all seven of these, 37%. They also had in there for children and youth leaders too. Amongst children and youth leaders, how many could say yes to all seven? 12% on that one. There is no doubt that Satan is at work here in the U.S. And there has been a great distortion. This idea that with God we are under bondage, but we have freedom outside of him. And as one YouTuber that I listen to might say, he would say, this is backwards. This whole idea is backwards. That with God there's bondage, and outside of God there's freedom. It's backwards. If we go to the original instructions that were given to Adam and Eve in chapter 2, we covered this last week. The Lord commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. That was the original command. After Satan brings his question to Eve, she responds to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. Did you catch that Eve left some stuff out? There were two things that were left out. In the original instructions, it says that you are free to eat from any tree in the garden. but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You are free to eat from any. Eve, she leaves out free and any. People run away from church, they run away from God, they run away from the Bible, and they run away from Christianity, and they think that living the way that they want to live is freedom. So they run after it boldly. Evil upon evil, sickness upon sickness. We look at our own society and we recognize that it seems like once one sin hurdle is jumped over, the hurdles increase, and they just keep jumping over more and more and more, and things get sicker and sicker. But it is an empty purpose, this whole culture of living for me. The truth, we find that in Galatians chapter 1, or Galatians 5, verse 1, when it comes to freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. What Satan is trying to get across to Eve is backwards. That with God there's bondage, but there's freedom outside of it. That is not the truth. With God there is freedom, and outside of God there's bondage. Eve leaving out freedom and any. And by the way, she doesn't even mention the name of the tree, which downplays its importance. And she adds, must not touch it, creating a human boundary. These are seeds of disobedience. And as I see it, it's a half a glass half empty kind of attitude that she has about God and His glory. It's about scarcity rather than the abundance that we have in God. And you know, and you've experienced half-glass empty attitudes where nothing is good enough, nothing pleases, nobody can get it right, and they invent new ways to complain. Eve here is starting to doubt God's goodness. And the serpent, After Eve shares what she thinks the command is all about, the serpent solidifies Eve's disobedience by telling her, number one, you will not surely die. And this is a half-truth. Eve will die, just not right away. Number two, the serpent, Satan, tells Eve that her eyes will be opened. They sure will be opened, but not in a good way. And number three, Satan lets her know that she will gain what belongs to God. She will gain what belongs to God. She will know good and evil, but she wasn't missing out. Maybe she thought that she could reach some sort of higher plane of existence and be like God, but that is not what happens. When humanity ends up knowing about good and evil, what's missing in Satan's deception? What's never included when it comes to Satan? What do you never find out until it's too late? When you are down in the gutter, when you are brokenhearted, when you are hooked, when you are alone, what does Satan never, ever let us know beforehand? Satan never, ever shares the real cost with us when he tempts us. He never shares the real cost. There is freedom in God through Jesus. By the power of the Holy Spirit, there is forgiveness because of His tremendous work on the cross. And for us, there is purpose. in God, again, through Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we have purpose to know, love, serve, and praise God. And living into that is freedom. It's not subjecting ourselves to the bondage of God somehow by going to church, by being a part of this. No, it's about freedom. Freedom to live out our purpose, to know, love, serve, and praise God. And in that, there is life abundant. Life abundant. And my question for you is, are you living it? Are you experiencing the freedom that we have in Christ? No longer subject to the bondage of Satan, but free to live for Jesus day by day. Shall we pray? Gracious God, we thank you for your tremendous and awesome holy word. We thank you for filling us in, for letting us know about your kingdom story and that we are a part of it and we have purpose. Lord, help us to live out our purpose. Help us to tell the devil to depart from us whenever we start to think there's freedom outside of you. We ask for help with this in Jesus' name. Amen.